So some of you are thinking, who's Pastor Chuck Angel? Where's Fort Worth, Texas? And that's my pastor for my church back home. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. I don't know if you guys, I got a really good New York accent. What? Is this not good? I've been working on it for a year. Well, thanks, Joel. The reason we want to show you that video to get started is because there is a church in Fort Worth, Texas that is praying for you. We're not here alone. We're not. That's the beautiful thing about the church, is the church was never intended to be a bunch of little bitty bodies. But the Lord intended the church to be one massive group of people chasing after Jesus. And we've got different expressions on how we work that out. Music is different. Preaching is different. Sometimes you got a guy standing behind a pulpit really good with his words, and then sometimes you got a guy with a coffee mug clumsy with his words. And you'll find out that that guy's better than the other guy, but only because his clothes are cooler. None of that's true. None of that's true. That's the deal, is we get caught up so often in church about what it looks like and what it feels like. And really, what we want to be is the kind of church where God is moving and reaching people. And so one of the things that I love about being a part of this, yes, this is the brand new us. This is launch weekend. But not forsaking the fact that this is a church that has been here for 173 years. 173 years. In 1840, God gave the vision to a man to say that there are people in this area that need to know me. So just real quick, real history lesson, things that were not existent in 1840. You guys ready? The state that I grew up in, Texas, was not Texas. It was, in fact, Mexico. And when this church celebrated its fifth birthday, Texas won its independence from Mexico and became the great nation that we know today as Texas. Right? When this church celebrated its 20th anniversary, 20th birthday, Texas was annexed in and became a state of the United States of America. God is doing big things that are far larger than us. He's doing things that are far larger than them. But there are some things that have happened between now and then that we're excited that we get to be a part of. The scriptures tell us that his promises are yes and amen. And the visions that he gave a man are still existent today. And this might embarrass some people, but I'm okay with that. But there are some ladies. There's a whole pocket of people. Miss Chris, Mr. John, Miss Jane, Miss Audrey, Miss Marion, would you guys stand up? Will you stand up? Yeah. The reason, I mean, you guys just clapped and gave them a hand, and you have no idea why, which is awesome. But these ladies have raised their families to love the Lord in this church. They've been here for nearly 70 years, raising their families to love the Lord in this church that God is still moving in. And those families raise their families to love the Lord in this church. That's why I tell you that this thing is far bigger than this big launch party that we're throwing today. The Lord is good. And you may say, you know what, I'm not into all this Christian and Jesus stuff, and I don't know what that means, but I promise you that if you stick around long enough, you're going to see that the Lord is good, he is faithful, and when he makes a promise, he keeps it. He is unlike any human you have ever known. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. And so, ladies, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for being here. Jay hates it when I do certain things when I preach. One of them is cry, and you'll see the other one in a minute. He says it's just not fair. But you know what? In Texas, you got what you guys think of is cowboy hats and boots. But what you don't know is we're a bunch of sensitive people who go around hugging trees and driving Prius. And that's what kind of car. That's not true. In Texas, they go around shooting people. No, they go around shooting things and eating the meat. And so Jay says that I didn't choose to move out of Texas, but I, in fact, got kicked out of Texas. Because I drive a Prius and don't own a gun. So it wasn't that you decided to move to New York. It was that they said that's where you needed to go. So I don't know what he's saying about you, but I drive a Prius and don't own a gun. I don't know what any of that means. Well, today we are launching this brand new series called One Month to Live. And what I'm hoping, and I'm not hoping, what I'm expecting the Lord to do is to do something profound in our lives. Because we're facing this reality that if life were to end tomorrow, would I be okay with it? You know, and this prayer request that he just got from his sister about a friend who died mowing their lawn, that's real life. And so we want to talk about that. We want to work through that. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to two places in your Bible, Psalm 39. And if you're new, again, if you're new to this whole church, God, I'm not sure how all this works. At the front of your Bible, there is a table of contents. And if you think, man, I don't want people seeing me use the table of contents. I'm a pastor of a church. And 2 weeks ago at Bible study, I did not know how to find the book of Obadiah. And I, in fact, had to use the table of contents. So there seriously is no shame in that. Table of contents, tell you right what page, flip to Psalm 39. And then keep your finger there, flip to James chapter 4. And while you're flipping there, I want you guys to know something. I know exactly, I'm going to talk to you guys about living your life with 1 month to live, but I know that I, in fact, have more than 1 month to live. I am going to die on October the 14th of 2053. And you think, well, how in the world could you know that? And I'll tell you that I Googled it, and I found a death clock, and it asked me how old I am, is my dad still alive, how much do you weigh, what is your body fat count? And then my computer started singing to me, and it goes, do you go skydiving? And I was like, no. And it said, do you go Rocky Mountain climbing? And I was like, no, I don't do any of that. And it said, do you want to ride 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu? And I said, computer, if you ask me if I love deeper and smell sweeter, then this is over. I don't care when I'm dying. It didn't, in fact, ask me that. Then after I was done inputting all the information, I clicked compute, and it said, good news, I have 14,273 days to live, so I don't have to worry about this 30 days to live, but what I want to do is talk to you about that. And just joking, really, honestly, I could die pulling out of the parking lot today, right? I could get so worked up trying to make you laugh and be funny and get my boogie on, and boogie, that's a weird word. And I could have a heart attack right here, right? I could come to men's breakfast and load up on Allen's sausage gravy, and I could eat all sorts of bacon and sausage and biscuits and pancakes and eggs and home fries. Man, if you're not doing anything Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, I'm telling you, this is a place to be. Mowing your lawn for the last time before it snows, which, by the way, it was cold this morning. That can wait. Get here. Eat some food with us. But the truth is, I could eat all that food and die of a heart attack right then, right? None of us have any idea when we're going to die. None of us. And so what we want to do is to take a look at this idea that if I were going to live for 30 days, would I do the things that I'm doing? Would I go the places that I plan on going? Would I this? Would I that? And so take a look at that verse there in Psalm 39. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5. And this is a prayer of the king of Jerusalem. His name was David. And he prayed this prayer, Lord, make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you made my days as a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather it. And his prayer is what I hope becomes our prayer. Lord, help me know that my life is tiny. There's an author that I like to read, the Christian living inspirational author. His name's Donald Miller. And his last book was called Storyline, Finding Your Subplot in God's grand narrative. This story is not about you. And some of us think, but no, here's the deal. I'm a big deal. To my kids, I'm daddy. I'm a big deal. To my wife, I'm a big deal. Standing next to most of you other men, I'm not that big of a deal because I'm a smaller deal, but I'm still a big deal, right? There's something good about me, but here's the deal. In the scheme and the scope of eternity, your life is about 5 seconds long. Your life is about 5 seconds long. And so when you live like this thing is about you, then you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. But when you see that this life is in fact about Jesus, then you're setting yourself up to see life and see great success, to see good things, because it doesn't count on you. Nobody wants to think about being the sidekick, right? No one wants to be the B character in the movie. You watch horror movies, the B character, what happens to them? They run up the stairs and they're dead, right? So the main character runs up the stairs and everybody's like, oh, is she going to die? No, she's not going to die. She's the main character of the story. But the B characters, they run upstairs and they meet their end, right? So what we want to do is take a look at the scriptures and see how we can live our life. In fact, if this thing is not about us, what can we do to make it about Jesus? And how can we center our life? And the title of the message today is Living a Passionately Purposeful Life, I think. Something close to that, right? So what we want to do is to figure out today, if we only have 30 days to live, how can I live my life with great passion? So flip over to the book of James. And this is how I like to preach. I like to just read the text, and then I like to kind of walk through it one verse at a time, and just talk about what it means and how we can take something away from that, all right? Is that cool with everybody? I asked you like it mattered, but I'm going to do it my way. I love it when Kim's here because she laughs at all my jokes. All right, so Psalm chapter 4, starting in verse 13, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a time and then vanishes. Instead, what you should say is that if the Lord lives, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And again, you read this, my life is like a vapor. It's like a mist that fades. Lord, help me know that my life is like a shadow. What happens when you got a shadow and then the light changes? Shadow disappears, right? My life is like a shadow? That's weird. Help me know that. So what we want to do is look at three turning points on how we can live our life with purpose. And I've said this a couple of times, but if you're not into this whole Jesus thing, that's okay with us. We want to be a safe place for you guys to explore that. We believe that Jesus is the everything. He is the answer to every question. Let's figure out what the question is. But even if you're like, man, I'm kind of skeptical about this. I'm just checking it out. I got a thing on my door saying church, new church. I'm going to check it out. Even if you're not into Jesus, I think that if you'll pay attention to these first two things, we can figure out how to help you, even you, live your life with purpose. So here's what we're going to do. First turning point. Verse 13 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? So the first turning point that we want to look at is you see those, today or tomorrow, someday I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, I'm going to go there. How many of you get yourself caught living in the when? Living in the when, right? One day when I meet the right person, and then we get married, then we'll be able to do this or that. Or someday, when we have enough money, we'll have kids. How many of you found out that there was not enough money to have kids, right? This would be the shortest sermon ever if you had to wait till you had enough money to have kids. My parents, they still don't have enough money to have kids, but they got two of us. One of us is better than the other, and I'm not going to tell you which one, but if you stick around long enough, you'll hear about it. Right, but we live in the when. The first turning point to turning your life into a life of passionate purpose is that You have to learn how to turn when into now. Turn when into now. So are there things in your life that you're waiting on? When this works itself out and that works itself out and then this works it out, then I'm going to do that. When I graduate from college, then I'm going to grow up. No, guys, if I don't know if you're in college, some of you are. When I graduate from college, then I'll meet a lady and we'll get married, right? No, ladies want a guy who's got a job, so get a job. Don't wait till you graduate from college. Get a job. Get a job. My mom had to tell me that for a long time. She said, get a job. And I said, I don't want a job, Mom. Get a job. Stop waiting for when. Because when does when come? For me, when never comes. When, you know, the Lord told me he wanted me to come up and pastor a church. And I thought, man, that's crazy, God, because I'm the happy, fun time music guy. I'm not really gifted with words. They don't flow out of my tongue, and pastors are supposed to be good at talking, and I'm good at sticking my foot in my mouth. And so, okay, Lord, I'll do that, but when I get better at this whole communicating thing, then I'll do that. When I learn how to read the Bible better, Lord, I'll go and do that. If that's what you want me to do, when I start to like to be around people. Because here's the deal, when you stand up there behind the microphone, no one interacts with you. They don't ask you questions. You don't have to answer questions. You get to sing, and then they start to ask you a question, and you start the next song, right? What? What? I can't hear you. Just give me a second. Just what? What? But I had to come to this reality that when is never going to come, and it's the Lord who equips you now. So the first turning point for living a life of passionate purpose is you've got to learn to turn when into now. And the second one is really close. It's similar, and we might be drawing some semantical distinctions here, but I think it's also important. And keep reading there in verse 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For it is a mist that appears for a little while. So the second thing that we need to do is we need to learn how to turn our intentions into action. We've got to learn to turn our intentions into actions. We might be drawing some semantical distinctions, but sometimes we live in the when all of this works out, then I'm going to do. But sometimes we live in the, well, I really intend to climb up there on that ladder and clean out that gutter. I really do, because I'm getting tired of the rain hitting on my head and not flowing down, but really I'm okay with it because I can just step around the water, right? We intend to do a lot of good things. You got to learn to turn your intentions into actions. There's a lady that I want to introduce you to on the video. Her name is Stacy. Stacy is a lady who had to face how short life is, how short it is. Stacy was somebody's mother. She was somebody's wife. Stacy was somebody's daughter. And she had to face from the doctors that life is real short. Meet Stacy.
Well, I'm kind of every breast cancer survivor's worst nightmare, really, because I was first diagnosed in 2004 with stage one. And I came back with my nodes clean and everything, and I did chemo, and I did the double mastectomy. I did everything right. But for some odd reason, the cancer went to the lymph node behind my breastbone, which is practically unheard of. And so it was allowed to grow there for several years. It didn't cause me any problems. And now it's in my bones, so I'm considered stage four. And unless there's a miracle, you know, I'm going to be going home soon. And I'm kind of double-minded about it because there's part of me that is kind of excited in a weird way, you know, because I know where I'm going and it's going to be a great place. And then, but this other part of me that's not ready to go yet, I'm too young. And I feel for the people that I'm leaving behind, you know, especially my girls. Probably not going to see them grow up, you know. I feel cheated out of grandbabies. I feel cheated out of weddings. I I feel, you know, I'm double-minded. I have this I have this argument with myself. Two different feelings about this same thing. You know, and I feel for people who don't have a relationship with God and they're going through this. I don't know how they did it. I really don't. And I even feel for those people who maybe do have a relationship but don't really know Him. I mean, know Him to the very core of your being. Know that He is good. Know that He loves you, because sometimes it doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem like He's good. And it doesn't seem like He loves me. You know, but since I know that with every inch of me, you know, that's my hope and that's my comfort. And I really do feel for anyone who does not have that foundation.
So Stacy, I mean, everybody hears that C word, the cancer word, right? And you're, what do I do? And so one time in 2004, Stacy was faced with the fact, the very real fact, that my life might be over. And I can try to do all of this stuff to get it right, but again, my life is a vapor. And I might not be. And then she goes through all of that and finds out it's okay. I'm going to make it. And then hiding under the surface, this thing is still growing inside of her. And 6 years later, she's faced with it again, except for this time, she's not faced with the possibility, but she's faced with the very real certainty that life as I know it on this planet Earth is about to be over. And so Stacy would tell you she was forced to stop living in when, because when is very likely never going to get here. And she was forced to say, I can no longer intend to do these things. I can no longer intend to be this kind of mother. I must now put that into action, because I won't have much longer to do that. And so I got a question for you. Is there something in your life that you're putting in the win category that you need to make now? Is there some good intention that you have that you need to put into action? So I'm asking everybody in the room, if you have a cell phone, get it out. Let me see it. This is the one and only time you're going to see in church the pastor ask you to get your phone out. Get your phone out. If you don't have your phone, we're going to put a phone number up on the screen. This is a phone number that you can send a text message. It'll go to my iPad. And so if there is something that you're living in the wind that needs to become a now, this kind of 30-day challenge that we're living in as part of this 1 month to live series, I am committing to you that I will pray for that every single day for the next 30 days. This turning point that you need to turn when into now will be a part of my prayer list every single morning. This intention, this thing that you intend to do that you need to put into action, text that to me. Send it to this. Don't try to call it. It's not my phone number. You won't get me. This is not a private one-on-one connection. I'm not going to know your name. I'm not going to know who you are. This can be completely anonymous. I'm going to pray for you. Another part of this 30-day challenge, while you're working on turning when into now, and while you're working on these good intentions being moved into action, I'm going to challenge you to do one other thing. This life is full of negativity. Every single day, you're going to run up against something that was negative. And if you read in your bulletin, our Twitters and our Facebooks are littered with this. This new thing that Facebook introduced a few weeks ago, where you can now put how you're feeling, and it's a little, get a little smiley face or a frowny face or a something face, and it's like, I got a flat tire today, feeling annoyed. Or I was at the grocery store and I bumped the car into my door, I'm feeling angry. You know, how often do you see, hey, someone paid for my coffee at the coffee shop, feeling blessed? You don't see that often. What you see most often is the bad things that happen in people's life. And so while you're working on taking these intentions and making them actions, and while you're working on living in the now, not in the when, what I'd like for you to also do is to focus on the good thing that happened. something good every day. And you might not be a Facebook or a Twitter person, but I would like for you to focus on the good. So when you lay your head on the pillow at night, I'm going to challenge you not to lay your head on the pillow thinking about the negative thing that happened today. I'm going to challenge you. If you're a Facebooker, put it on there. Find one good thing that happened today. Because I promise you, if you were faced with the very real certainty that you only had 1 month to live, you would live in the good part of your day. You can talk to cancer patient after cancer patient. And you're going to find that one good thing, all right? Now we're going to finish this up. We're going to hear another story from Stacy. So we finish reading here, starting in verse 16. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him is sin. How many of us know the right thing that we should do, but we don't do it? I should do this, but it's easier for me to do this. We all live in that place, right? So this third turning point, and this is if you're not into this whole Jesus thing, those first two things, they're going to help you. But we believe that following Jesus is the best way to live. And so what we're going to say is that the third turning point is to stop living in the I know what I should do and start living in the doing the right thing and give your whole heart to Jesus. Give your whole heart to God, not just a part of your heart. And I think we've got this problem, not just this church, but the church overall, is that we get this thing where we get just enough Jesus. How many of you are flu shot people? Anybody? Any of you flu shot nerds? Right? You go to the place. My wife always tries to get me to get a flu shot, and I think, no, do you know what they're doing, right? They're giving you the flu. I'm not going to volunteer to get the flu. That's crazy, right? But what they do is they give you just enough of the flu to make you resistant to all of the flu. And I think part of the problem that we have in the church today is that we have just enough of Jesus to make us resistant to all of Jesus. You know, we cry out and we say, Lord, give us more of your Spirit that empowers us to live. Fill us with your Spirit, God. Baptize us in your Spirit. But what we've got, and the reason that doesn't happen, is because we have just enough of Jesus to make us resistant to all of them. You know, so we're here. I'm here this morning. Got my Jesus shot. I'm good. I'll be back next week. A little more Jesus shot. Hey, I might even come to the prayer meeting on Thursday. Jesus shot, right? And so as long as you're in this building, you're getting inoculated. You're getting just enough Jesus. Then you walk out the door and you live your life like you weren't even here. You live your life like he doesn't even matter. And so the third turning point, and this is the real way, this is the real deal on how you live your life with passionate purpose, is to give him your whole heart. Give him your whole heart. Don't just get enough of Jesus to be dangerous. Either get all of him or sleep in. Either get all of him or do something better on Thursday night than come to prayer. But when you give Jesus your whole heart, we believe that the most important meeting for people to come to is our Thursday night prayer meeting. Because what we do in this room on Saturday nights at 6 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 10:30 is only going to be as deep. It is only going to be as life-changing as our prayer time. And so every morning when you wake up, it's an opportunity to get the shot for the day. It's not just a one-time-a-week shot to get Jesus, but get that shot every day. Chase him every day. Stop living in the wind. Start living in the now. Stop intending to do things and start doing them and give Jesus your whole heart, because you have no idea if you've got tomorrow. Let's hear a little bit more of Stacy's story, and then we'll talk about how we wrap this up, how we go out of here this morning. Let's hear from Stacy.
You know, I feel like I want to be more present in the moment because I don't have very many moments left. And so I try to enjoy every moment. And even in the mundane things, you know, I mean, that's the harder thing to do, but even in the mundane things, I try to just enjoy it, even if that means, you know, talking to God or singing to Him, you know. But I try not to take anything for granted, because we're not guaranteed anything, you know. And I know I don't have many moments left, so I want to enjoy every bit of it. You've got to really have a relationship with Him, not just religion, but a relationship with Him. Because there will be something that's going to come along that's going to knock you off your feet, and you're going to need Him. And so I am just a totally different person than I was 7 years ago. But I also think I'm a lot different person than I was in May, you know, because I am starting to number my days aright and gain a heart of wisdom, you know. It's what's important. Things aren't important. Going places, that's not important. Family, friends, relationships, that's what's important. It really is. It's the only thing that you can really, I guess, in a way, take with you in your heart, you know? Don't expect tomorrow to come. It may not be there. You can't wait until you're sick to start living, because to be honest with you, a lot of the time you don't feel good enough to do what you want to do, you know? You need to start living now. Now. There's no wait until the doctor tells you. You need to fix the relationship now. You need to live in the moment now. You need to enjoy yourself and the people that you're with now. Don't wait.
Did you guys hear what she said? Don't wait until you're sick to start living. From someone who's experienced it, you're not going to feel like it. You're going to be too sick to live. And at that point now, you're wishing, I had lived. And the only way to get to that point where you're not wishing that you had lived is to stop living in the when and live in the now. The only way you can get to that day and not wish that you had lived is to turn those intentions into actions. And you hear what she said? She said, it's not religion. It's not religion that saves you. It's a relationship with Jesus. This relationship with Jesus does two things when you're gone. You can work your entire life saving up money to leave an inheritance for your kids, but that will only last for as long as it takes for them to spend it. The only thing, I mean, you can't even take that with you, right? That's here. That stuff is the scriptures tell us to store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust and decay can't destroy it. So you can't take it with you, and it only lasts as long as it takes them to spend it. But a relationship with Jesus that you give away, because a real relationship with Jesus compels you, moves you toward other people to give that away. And when you give that away, they are compelled to give it away. So the only thing that you can leave behind is a relationship with the Lord. And the only thing that you can take with you are the people in your life. By transposing, giving that relationship that you have with Jesus, saying, I'm going today. My life is over, but I will see you again. And you can be there too. And so I think there might be three different things that people in this room might need to do. And if you're new with us, this isn't weird. It might feel weird, but what we do is we just bow our heads and close our eyes. And it's not, we're not going to play a game. No one's going to tap you on the shoulder. The reason that we bow our head and we close our eyes is to give you the moment to be alone with God. This isn't about the person next to you. This moment right here isn't about me. It's not about Joey playing the keyboard. This moment is about you and the Lord. So all around the room, just bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to ask you at some point to raise your hand if you feel like maybe that's you. And the first thing that I think there might be people in the room who need to work on with the Lord, and I want to pray for you. That's all we're going to do. Is if you're in the room and you're living in the wind, and you need to start living now, or if you've got these good intentions, but those good intentions need to be turned into action, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. If there's something that you intend on doing that you need to get to doing, or if there is a someday when this works itself out and A plus B, then I'll do and it'll equal C. And so people in the room with their hands up, I'm just going to pray this prayer over you, and then I'm going to continue to pray that with you. Lord, these people were brave enough to say, you know what? I am not living a life of passionate purpose, and I want to. And so, Lord, I know that I need to stop living in when, and I need to start living in now. I need to stop intending to do these things, and I need to start doing them. I need to get to living. And so, Lord, I'm going to ask you to give them an extra measure of you, an extra measure of your spirit, to help them live their life today, because we're not promised tomorrow. And so, God, these things that they're waiting till things work themselves out to do, God, I pray that you would give them the strength to do them now. And Lord, these things that they intend on doing, that maybe they intend on being this kind of mother, but I'm not. I intend on being this kind of dad. I intend to be this kind of grandma. I intend to do this with my life. God, I'm praying that you would move them to live now, not in their strength, but in yours. And God, we just sang that we know that you go before us, and we know that you stand behind, because you are the God of angel armies, and we're asking you to let us know that you're by our side. And we know that your promises are yes and amen. So, Lord, we thank you that you are doing that in us already. In your name we pray. Amen. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. I've got another question. Maybe that third turning point is you. Maybe you haven't given your whole heart to Jesus. I know Jesus. I've got a relationship with him, but I'm getting just enough him to make me resistant to all of him. And so today what I'd like to do is renew my commitment to the Lord. And I'm saying that today you have all of me. Lord, you have all of me. So if you're here this morning and you're ready to give him your whole heart, you're ready to say, you know what? That passion that I felt when I first met you, Lord, I'm ready to live in that again. Is there anybody in the room today that says, I'm ready to give him my whole heart again? I'm going to pray for you, Lord. We don't want just enough of you to make us resistant to all of you, God. We need all of you. We need all of you, and we need it now. We can't live this way. We don't want to have just enough of you to make us dangerous. We want enough of you to make us dangerous. We want enough of you, Lord, that the gates of hell cannot stand against us, that there are no principalities or powers of the darkness that can stand against us, God, but your passion is living and moving in us because we have given you our whole heart. And again, God, we thank you that your promises are yes and amen. So we thank you that you're already doing that. In your name we pray, amen. Now, eyes still bowed, head still closed. Strike that, reverse it. This isn't the time where I'm supposed to be funny. This is where I'm supposed to be serious. But head still bowed, eyes still closed. I wonder if there's one other kind of person in the room today. I wonder if there's a person who says, I'm not just giving God a part of my heart. I haven't given him any of my heart. I've kind of been participating in religion, but I'm ready to give him my whole heart for the first time. You see, a lot of us, we think that if life ended tomorrow, we'd be good. God would be okay with us because I'm a good person. I'm not bad. I'm not a criminal. I don't do these things. God's got to be happy with me because I'm good. I would tell you that the scriptures in Romans would tell you that everyone has sinned and fallen short of this God of ours. And then it would tell you that the price for that sin is death. The price of your sin is death. But again in Romans chapter 5, it tells you that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so this death that was marked out, assigned to you because of your sin, Jesus stood up and said, I will take that. That death that was marked out for Greg Clark on October 14th in 2053, I will take on myself so that he can be made right with you, Father. I'm telling you that that God, that Jesus is standing here today saying, I am prepared to take on the death that is assigned to you because of your sin. Well, how do I do that? What do I do? Romans would go on to continue to tell you that the only thing that you have to do is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And that you think, you know what, that doesn't sound like I have to do much, and that's good news. That's good news for you because that means that Jesus accomplished everything on the cross for you. And so maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I need to give Jesus my heart for the first time. Everybody's heads are bowed. Everybody's eyes are closed. But if that's you this morning, if you need to give Jesus your heart for the first time, if you've been living thinking that being a good person is what made you right with the Lord, but you're hearing for the first time that it is in fact Jesus that made you right, I'm asking you to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three and you put your hand in the air. And that's not, it doesn't do anything. It just lets me know who we're praying with, who we're praying for. So I'm going to get to three. And if that's you, put your hand in the air. One, two, three. All right, if you raised your hand this morning, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to come up after service and talk to us. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you still want to come and talk. You've got questions. Service is going to end. We're going to go downstairs. We're going to have a party. We're going to have coffee and muffins. But coffee and muffins is not what we do. Interacting with Jesus, our King, is what we do. So come and talk to us. We got a little book you could read, 6, 7, 8, 9 pages every day. It'll help you figure out how to take the next steps in your relationship with Jesus. Now, everybody, look up here. There's one thing that I want us to do, if you'd be willing. If you'd be willing. Before we go, what we did today is we said we're going to stop living in when, and we're going to start living in now. We're going to stop intending to do things and we're going to start doing them. We're going to put it into action and we're going to give our whole heart to Jesus. So if you'd be willing, in a minute, I'd like for us to stand up and sing this phrase. We would ask God to set a fire in our soul that cannot be contained, that cannot be controlled, that we need more of him, that he would set a fire in our soul that cannot be contained, can't be controlled, that we need more of him. The only way for us to live a life of passionate purpose is to have more of him. The only way to live your life with real passion and real purpose that will not end is to have more of him. So if you'd be into that, stand up and sing this with us.